Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier back at the studios. And we're excited to have Nick Barris from News Channel 5 with us. Been there, how long have you been at News Channel 5?
Since,
the Nickel?
Since 95.
95.
So that's a long time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're a legend.
That he is a legend.
Yeah, we're excited to have you on with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You're an Oregon Duck.
Yep.
As well.
Yep.
And tell us the history behind that, because your father was there.
Yeah,
right?
He was sports information director. So I always liked sports. That's why it's good to be on here. By the way, radio.
Yeah.
My favorite medium.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really, that's why how it all started, doing DJing in high school in Eugene. I love radio. Just sitting up here like this in Bar Lines, it's pretty cool. But anyway, University of Oregon, my dad was SID at Northwestern in Evanston, and I was born in Illinois. And then he left there, and he went and got the job as SID at the University of Oregon with Rich Brooks when he got there, the head coach there, who later came here to coach Kentucky.
Yep.
And I spent, I grew up in Oregon, but I think now I have lived longer in Tennessee than any place else in my life. Yeah, so I'm a Tennessean.
So who were your teams growing up?
Cubs. And I'm still a Cubs fan. I was a Cub fan. My dad would take me to Wrigley Field. And then out in the West Coast, I mean, I was an Oregon Duck fan. And I guess for pro football, maybe Seahawks. But we didn't have really a local team in Oregon. Well, I liked the Bears, but I never got into it as a kid. It was more, baseball for me. And by the time I love football now, and I'm a Titans fan, but we didn't really have a team in Oregon. Seattle would be the closest, the Seahawks. Jim Zorn,
That's right.
Dave Craig.
Yep.
Dave Craig. Did you become a Portland Trailblazer fan? That's close to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Trailblazers. I love it. We moved to Oregon in 76 when they had the Mountain Man in the center, and they beat the Philadelphia 76ers in a big upset. Bill Walton and company knocked off Julius Erving and all of them for the championship.
Well, then Seattle won with downtown Sox. Freddie Brown.
Yeah, Jack Sigma, Lonnie Shelton. Yeah.
Right.
Downtown Freddie Brown. That was awesome.
Was the man.
Yeah. So you've been in Nashville at News Channel 5 since 95. What made you – oh, Canada. Mm. Canada scores women's hockey.
Oh, it's – okay. Early in the game? Yeah, we're watching it here.
Second period.
Okay. Yep.
So Canada – the gold medal game, Canada takes a 1-0 lead. Mm. Shorthanded.
Didn't they play earlier and the U.S. beat them like 5-0 or
something? Yeah, I think that's right. But, yeah, that's shorthanded goal. So
yeah.
Interesting.
Wow.
So what got you into – TV news?
I just love moving pictures, and I realized print, can only do so much. But, like, Joe and I are hams on camera. We like to have fun. But video tells so much more of the story than, great writing is great writing. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I loved reading Sports Illustrated growing up and all of that. But just the visual medium, TV, being out in the field with cameras and having the camera visuals to come back made it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you've done a great job with it. Do you – you're more on the anchor desk now.
Yeah.
Do you miss the field and reporting and telling those stories?
I never really went into this thinking I want to be an anchor. Like my friend Joe here. He wants to be an anchor.
I do.
And he's been an anchor. He's very good. But I like reporting and being out with the people in the field. And I still get to do some of it, but I'm anchoring a lot more now, which is a little easier on your body as you get older, running around out there with the camera and the tripod.
You're young at heart.
Yeah, I am. That's true.
I remember somebody told me about a flag football game Channel 5 played against somebody, and they couldn't stop you.
Ow.
They could not stop Nick Barris.
Maybe.
Like, you scored every touchdown.
Well, we would go out. Neil O'Donnell did special commentary for us, sometimes when he was with the Titans and after he retired. And he's a good guy. In fact, I still have his cell number now. We could call him. And I kept badgering him. I said, would you come out with us to Centennial Park and be the quarterback for both our teams to play one day? And finally, he goes, yeah, I'll do it. And I go, this is so cool. How many of us would like to try catching a ball from someone who started a Super Bowl?
Right.
And he came out, and I just remember we were in the huddle once, and he's like, okay, Nick, here's the plan. You're going to go and do a down and out. When you turn around, you have your hands up and ready because the ball will be there, and it's going to hit you in the face if it's not there. And it's like, he goes, you want an NFL ball? I'm going to give it to you. But I'm going to throw the ball before you turn around, which is the whole key of the NFL. I remember doing that. I ran, did a down and out, and it was right there.
Oh, that's awesome.
If I hadn't gotten my hands up, it would have broken my nose.
I'm shocked Neil didn't throw an interception.
No Larry Brown.
No Larry Brown. In the news world, what's the one story you're more proud of than anything else?
I can't answer that.
What comes to mind?
I mean, I can't answer that. I mean, there's horrible news stories that stick with you. There's There's fun news stories. I mean, I get asked that a lot, and I just can't. I think the stories I like the most are the ones that I think I got to know the people involved and it made a change in someone's life. I mean, the stories that stand out most recently, and then there's all kinds. I mean, so, Nick, what story stands out to you recently? It's Second Avenue bombing, Covenant school shooting.
Yeah.
Horrible, horrible things.
Yeah.
That I was a part of. I don't say they're my favorite stories or anything. These are important stories, tragic stories, and those are the ones that first come to mind because it affected so many people.
Excluding those which are tragic, you get pissed off at the animal rescue, right? I mean, that you're like us. I mean, it hits deep, but you've been on the ground with these animal rescues who rescue hundreds of dogs in hoarding situations.
It's Animal Rescue Corps is one of the main front line. What they do is they'll be called in by law enforcement for various counties to say, can you help us? Because, I mean, we know there's abuse going here, but we don't have the facilities to take care of the dogs. So ARC says, we'll get with you. We'll come with you. And then as long as they surrender the dogs, we'll take them back to the emergency shelter in Gallatin and rehab the dogs, place them with shelters, and adopt them out. And I've got so much respect. My wife volunteers with them and the people that run Animal Rescue Corps. And there's so many wonderful shelters, but they're so overcrowded. And the animal abuse that I see and the fact that so many people don't spay and neuter their pets.
Yeah.
Come on. That's the simple solution to the biggest problem, which is that we have too many of these animals.
Right. Yeah. Nick Barris is with us from News Channel 5. You have the thing that I love about this, and I grew up here. I am born and raised. I am a unicorn. So I grew up watching Channel 5 and 4 and, like, everything flipping around.
Yeah.
You didn't see a lot of change. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you're a prime example of that, that have been here as long as you have. What is it about Nashville that made that so cool that you had the Chris Clarks and Vicky Yates Hope Hines and like all the faces that you got used to for so long?
Yeah, and it's different. It's a little more nomadic now, I guess, maybe, but those guys, they were legends, and they built the foundation of it. It was a wonderful place to live back then with all of them, and they knew this was a great place. But for me, coming here, first of all, it's a great station, but two, when I moved here in 95, this has since become the type of larger metropolitan city that I wanted to work in. It's evolved, and I have with it, to be a bigger place. It doesn't have as much of that. I think Nashville still can have a little bit of the more smaller town feel compared to some of the real big cities. But it's become that way, so you want to stay here. Look, I've been in a lot of markets, including Los Angeles, and this is a great place to be, man. It is a great city. It's got everything to offer. It's not too big. Yep. It's not too small. It's right in the sweet spot.
Have you been a day one Titan season ticket holder?
Second season I became. Larry Britton, the legendary investigative reporter for News Channel 5, had tickets with his son, and he bought the PSL. I couldn't afford them at the time, even
then,
compared to what we're paying now for PSLs. But it's like, and then the next year, Larry said, hey, Nick, my son doesn't want to do it. You want to go in on it? I go, yeah. So he and I shared seats in the upper bowl, and he is the reason I saw the Music City Miracle. I am a fair weather fan. We fall behind. The weather's crappy. I'm not one of these, I paid, I'm supporting this team through thick and thin. I'm just, sorry, call me a lousy fan. That's what it is. But I was like, Larry.
So you haven't been there in about 5 years.
Yeah, right. I'm like, that's about right. Anyway, I go, Larry, they're not coming back. This game's over. Darn it. I wish. You know, Buffalo's going to win again. All these Buffalo fans around us. He goes, Nick, no, let's just sit here a bit. I feel good about this. And we stayed.
Whoa.
And I literally, if he said, Nick, let's go, I would have left. And we stayed. And I can be one of the millions who was honestly there and saw the Music City Miracle, thanks to Larry.
Holy cow. Are you still a season ticket holder?
No. You know when I gave up my season tickets? When we lost to the Cincinnati Bengals.
On 21?
I was done. I was so upset. I'm like, Derrick Henry comes back. Okay. They're healthy. Tannehill, we've got the number one seed. We've got a clear path, these teams in front of us.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, people have bad games. Ryan Tannehill cost us that game. It made me sick to my stomach, and I'm like, I'm done with this. I walked out of there. I'm paying money to walk out of the stadium feeling like crap.
Yeah.
After this, there's no excuse for us losing this game.
That was
and again, I know it's not all on him, but he was horrible. And up until that point, I was a Ryan Tannehill fan. But it's amazing how a team sport, a single player, a quarterback, can cook your goose.
Can we bring you back now in the new stadium?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to be a season ticket holder. I just don't have the time to invest and go every Sunday to a game like that. But I'll go to games. I can't wait to see it. And I think the team is on the right path. Heard you guys talking earlier. I'm with you. And you and I agree on a lot with the coaches and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I like this coaching staff. Yeah. I have a lot of optimism about it.
I'm excited. That's what I said to him. I'm like, these are guys that didn't work in their last stop, but for whatever reason, I feel this is it. Like, this is the combination. You got the quarterback that I think they can develop and who's hungry, bring in other young, hungry players and build around them. I mean, it may not be this year, but right. I think the formula is there.
If they can get that going a bit just before we move into the new stadium.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We agree a lot. You agree of what I was saying about the city not paying for that stadium?
Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah, meaning that you didn't want that to be the case.
No, I don't think Nashville should pay anything for that stadium, mm-hmm. not when the NFL is worth trillions.
I agree.
Right? I mean, that's just – you get to the just, brass yeah. tacks of everything, but I don't think –
Yeah.
So you came in 95. Did you cover the NFL? Yes. And
that's when I talked about how this city became a place I want to live in. I still remember the day me and Phil Cantor, a photographer, and Mike Cutler, the news director, said, Nick, there's some kind of news announcement going on with Bredesen down at the Wild Horse. Do you want to? Can you cover that for us? Just head to the Wild Horse. You know, the mayor's going to be there, and we're hearing it may have something to do with sports. And everyone's like, oh, maybe we're getting an NFL team. There had been those rumors. I'm like, there's no way. I'm like, but we'll go. He's probably going to be there to announce, you know, something else. And I remember walking in and standing there, and all of a sudden out walks Bud Adams onto the stage with the mayor. And the hair stood up on my neck. And
you're
I'm like, oh, it's happening. My gosh. Nashville is going to become an NFL city. And I'm sorry, if there's one thing that says you're a major market, big-time city. You know, some people will say, well, Jacksonville, Green Bay. But still, I think those teams give both those cities a lot of credibility.
I agree. You should have known it was a special day because Bud came out that day with a sweet-ass toupee on. Right? He had toupee number one.
The rug.
That came out there to do that. And then, so I remember the vote was it 57-43? I voted no in NFL, yes. Because I read what all they were giving Bud Adams, and then I was like, I'm not voting for that.
I did at the time. I voted yes. I voted yes for it because, to me, it was just a chance to bring an NFL team here. It's different than the stadium thing for me, just because I agree with you on the stadiums and stuff like that. But the chance to get an NFL team, and I know you're giving a lot away. But it's just such a big deal. And I was a big NFL fan. I go, boy, this is what I want to see come to Nashville. So I voted for it.
Yeah. Well, and here's where I will – and look, I was 10 years old. So, you know, my parents were voting for – and I don't even remember what – I think they voted yes. But, like, looking at it now, I mean, are we sitting in this hotel? Is that convention center there? Right. I mean, the arena was kind of around the same time. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that – I think happened with Nashville and the growth because, like you said, you bring in an NFL team, you're a major city and a major player. And
I
so I feel like that's where then-Mayor Bredesen deserves a lot of credit. He's had the foresight there. You bring the NFL and the NHL in, all of a sudden you're a true player.
Was it true? I guess this is the way I remembered it, and it was right when I got here, but the NHL came in, but originally – was it Leopold? Was he the owner?
He wanted a basketball team.
He wanted NBA.
Yeah, correct.
He wanted NBA. But
that building was built for the NBA.
Okay, just wanted to be clear on that. I mean, I'm great with the Preds. That's all of that.
Yeah.
But the Grizzlies, I guess, had already gone to Memphis maybe?
No.
Not yet?
No, they were still in Vancouver.
For whatever reason, the NBA then did not want to.
So they told Leopold the quickest route to becoming an owner was to get an NHL team.
Okay,
so
that's what I thought.
They had talked to – there was an NBA team that – flirted with Nashville, but it was a ploy to get a new
Devils.
Arena.
Oh,
New Jersey
Devils. That's
hockey.
Yeah.
Oh, hockey.
That's hockey. Okay. But there was an NBA team too. Then yes, the Devils flirted to move here, and apparently that was like really close. And then at the 11th hour, they got the new rink, and then the NHL said they wanted to expand, and that's they awarded Nashville the expansion team.
Okay, which is fine. You know, we got hockey.
But no, I agree. Look, Nissan's not here. Bridgestone's not here.
Mm-hmm.
What other big corp aren't here if the NFL is not? I get
Amazon.
It.
Right.
I get it. They're here because of the NFL. At the time, the deal they gave Bud Adams, do you remember the Planters story at Nissan?
I'm sorry. Planters.
After 9/11, they installed the Planters over at Nissan Stadium.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And then they gave the city a bill for like $600,000.
I didn't remember that. I do know the Planters, which are there to prevent a car bomb from driving into the stadium.
And the city's like, we're not paying for that. And they're like, Yeah, you are. It's part of the deal. I was with Chris Bungard on all those stories.
Yeah, yeah.
And the city's like, we're in the – and the Titans were like, yeah, it's in the contract. You're paying for all
paying
this.
Paying for all this, yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay.
And they just went along with it,
yeah,
right?
Mean,
yeah.
We'll have more with Nick Barris coming up next. We're live today at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. The gold medal game in women's hockey in Italy right now. Canada leads the U.S. 1-0 in the second period, so we'll keep you updated on that. And the men back in action tomorrow to set up, hopefully, going to a gold medal game on Sunday.
Now, is that on NBC or is that another?
So U.S. It's through the Peacock app, but it's USA.
All right, because I'm watching live figure skating that's on NBC right now.
Yeah.
You think they'd switch over to?
Oh yeah.
Well, and it's on behind you on USA, I guess. So
the Peacock app is great.
So oh yeah.
You can just go to anything.
Put that mic up there.
Yeah.
You
know? Sorry about that.
I mean, there you go, buddy. Good
keep
job,
up,
Nick.
You mentioned Larry Brenton.
Do you think he'll let me finish his burger? Because I didn't get my food.
Yeah, he does. I eat his food all the time.
You do eat his food?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. You can have it.
Here's your hummus right here in the kitchen.
Oh, it's my hummus.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Here, we get the hummus up here.
Yeah. No, right here. Hey, right here.
Hey, ready?
Yeah, right here.
There you go. Thanks, buddy. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go, pal.
You mentioned Larry and working with him.
Yeah.
I remember, as I told you, growing up here, watching Street Talk.
Yeah.
He would do his, you know, his investigative reporting. What was it like working with Larry? And how is that hummus?
I got hummus on the microphone.
That's all right.
You know, not long after I got here, got into it. And Larry, one of the huge stories we were on, and it didn't happen, 96 is when Janet March disappeared.
Yep.
And that was his thing. Remember, he got in really good with Perry March, who, of course, murdered Janet. But yeah, we didn't know that at the time. And so not long after I started work there, they started News Channel 5 Plus.
We're going to pull up just a little bit there.
Okay.
There you go, pal.
Started News Channel 5 Plus, and they wanted to do Morning Line. And they did Morning Line as an hour and a half show.
Ugh.
And they said, Nick, you're going to be hosting with this fellow Larry Brenton. Now, he's a legend around here, even back then, because he was at the Banner, right, before he came over. I didn't know who he was or what it was going to be like. And then Larry's heart of gold and a wonderful reporter, but boy, a curmudgeon. You get on his wrong side or you do a story that he didn't, you know, really think was really news, he let you hear about it. And so I learned a lot from him.
Yeah.
You know, and Street Talk and all that. What I learned about from him was just all about contacts and who you know and getting in and the stories he told about String Bean Aikman and how, you know, he went and collected the evidence, the money out of the pond without telling law enforcement. And he was sitting there covering the story. I can't get into it all here, but, I mean, law enforcement was there looking for the money and the evidence in the pond, and he had it in the trunk of his car. You do that these days?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to jail.
Oh, yeah.
But back then, there was a different relationship between, you know, law enforcement and certain reporters.
Yeah.
I had to cover a story long ago at Channel 2. I was general assignment one day, which I'll never know why. We're at the Williamson County Courthouse, and Larry Brenton's covering a story down there. And he disappears, right? And so we're out in the hallway and everything. All of a sudden, I heard this lady's like, sir, you can't be in here. Larry Brenton is in some office with a bunch of files laid out, and he says, I'm just an old man looking for the bathroom.
Oh, that's a great story.
And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And the lady's like, let me show you the hair, sir. And I'm like, this guy has got you guys fooled.
I have
He's
never heard that.
He's got all these files laid out.
Yeah.
And it was me and Anthony May, a cameraman at the time at Channel 2. And we're like, this guy is the greatest.
Yeah.
I'm just an old man looking for the bathroom.
That's such a great story.
He's got all the files laid out.
Never heard it, but I believe it.
Yes.
I mean, Larry would do whatever, you know, within reason to get the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How has investigative news changed since those days to now? Obviously, you got social media and different avenues and stuff. But, I mean, like, it's a... You know, I remember back then, and then when I went to college, it was like, okay, when you're in sweeps, you got to have the big investigative story, you know, to get viewers in. Like, I remember the promos for, you know, Nick Barris goes behind the scenes of this travesty or something like that.
That still kind of goes on, but you hit it on the head. Yeah. What's changed so much is social media and everything. What you find now is the sources of the stories, law enforcement, attorneys, things like that, they are much more buttoned down and controlled and difficult to, like I said, the stuff that Larry got away with back in the day, doesn't happen. There are PIOs everywhere.
Yeah.
You're not dealing directly with the law enforcement officers, which makes sense. They're so busy.
Sure. Don Aaron's not going to put up with crap.
And, you know, Don Aaron has been around a long time.
Yep.
And he, in my opinion, he's excellent at what he does.
We love Don Aaron.
You don't always get along with him, and he can sometimes, in my opinion, be a little short with you. That's unjustified, but I also know behind the scenes all the stuff he puts up with. But he's handled some incredibly big stories over the years, and as a public information officer, I think he does a very, very good job.
And
it's not an easy job, and his wife's a peach.
Yeah. Did you go to Mexico to interview Perry March?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how's that carrot, by the way?
I'm eating on the air. Can you hear it?
I don't care.
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
All right.
Did you go down there to interview Perry March in Mexico?
Yeah. Went down to interview Perry March when he kidnapped the kids, his two children. He took them down there. And then we went down because, remember, the Levines, the grandparents had them here.
Yeah.
And then he took them down. And I remember what I remember about that trip is my photographer ate some unpasteurized queso at a restaurant and was puking in Perry March's pool.
Nice.
Who was the photographer?
I'm not going to say.
Oh, God. Tell me during the break.
Okay, right. I'll tell you during the break. But anyway, yeah, I do remember that. And then we went back down after Perry was arrested to interview Arthur March's father, who was into it. And I still remember going to Arthur March's little cabana. It's in Ajijic, Mexico, where a lot of expatriates live. Beautiful little area with a lot of Americans there. And we had to track him down. All the media was down there looking for him.
Oh, yeah.
We found him. And my photographer, a different one with me, Al T. Cobb, had a relationship of sorts with Arthur March. And so we pulled up. Other stations are all down there. We pulled up. We had an interpreter and a black SUV driving around. And then, you know, we saw Arthur walking down the road. And we're like, we got to confront him. Al T gets out and goes, "Hey, Arthur, what's going on?" And Arthur goes, "Al T." They hug each other. We get him in the SUV. We drive back to his cabana. We talk about the story. And he goes, "I ain't talking to any other media. I'm shutting it all down." And he wouldn't talk to anyone else. That was a big exclusive for us.
Sure.
I still remember him saying, "Look, Arthur, are you worried they're going to come get you now that they've gotten your son and they think you're involved?" And he goes, "No, Nick, let me show you this." And he pulls out his cane and he goes, "I've got a saber in my cane." And he goes, "If they come for me, I'm not going quietly." And he goes, "But I don't want you to show that." And I go, "Oh, okay." So he puts it back into the cane sheath. And he goes, "Excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom." He goes in the bathroom. I jump up, go, "LT, roll." And I pull open the sheet.
He would have killed you.
Well, he did say later, he said, "You tell Nick Barris his wife needs to buy a black dress." But, you know, come on.
I mean, he was certifiably insane.
Oh, he was too. There's thoughts that Arthur March killed his wife. And, you know, she died under suspicious circumstances, never charged. But and then again, we know what happened with Perry.
Is Arthur still alive?
No, he died. He went into federal custody for his involvement with what happened to Janet, and he died behind bars. Perry is still locked up. I forget which facility. I think it's out in West or East Tennessee.
We'll take a break. I'm going to go. I'm fascinated by this.
We're not talking sports. I mean, your listeners are not. They're probably bored to death.
They love this, and you can eat your hum. But I want to talk about the day Steve McNair died.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah.
Right? We got it. That day will ever be etched. The biggest news story ever in this city.
It was big.
We'll do that next. Nick Barris, News Channel 5, with us for the hour. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. Nick Barris from News Channel 5 is our guest.
You know, you guys.
Hey, the mic. There we go.
You guys are really good at doing interviews. I was telling Joe the other day. You know, I listen to you a lot, and some of the interview, I told him, the one I love, I mean, that I learned a lot, and it was well done, and he was great, was Vince Gill.
Oh, yeah.
When you did that interview with Vince Gill, what was that, a couple months ago
or
something? I was driving home, but I just thought it was excellent. It was maybe the best interview I had heard
him
do. It was just terrific.
Appreciate that.
And he's a great, I don't know him at all, but I just think he's amazing.
All right, so before the break, I ask you, the day that Steve McNair was killed, where were you, how'd you find out, and what happened next?
That was a weekend, wasn't it?
It was the 4th of July.
Yeah, 4th of July, but
Saturday.
Yeah. I was not at work, but I remember hearing about it. It's one of those things you just remember where you were. I think we had family over, and I didn't believe it at first. And then, of course, we turned in and started watching it. It's what came later. I was friends with the guy who owned the building when it happened. And a few days later, as we were doing the follow, I didn't cover it initially. There were other reporters that did. They had enough people. They didn't need all hands.
Sure.
Excuse me, on deck. But I went into that apartment He brought me in there.
No.
After, before it had been cleaned. But it had already been processed. And the stuff you see in there was just awful. Just awful, the couch and the way it was. Where, yeah, the bodies were gone, of course. But there was still, you know, human evidence there. And but it had already been processed. But it gave me a look at what this apartment room looked like and where he died and where the bodies were. And it was just horrible. And we never showed any of that, of course, but I had a chance to see it to try to just get perspective of what this place was like,
yeah,
and
right.
what was going on there.
So when the story unfolded about the guy at Opry Mills, she bought the gun, and all, I mean, when it started unfolding, I was like, all right, where does this end? And I remember it was layer after layer after layer, and it just was something that we'll never go through again, but was just completely like, it's not in the reporter's handbook, I guess what I'm trying to say here.
Right. No, I mean, you don't – something like that. But I do know, you know, I mean, even today there are people thinking there's some kind of conspiracy and it wasn't, you know, necessarily what police ended up saying what it was. You know, this woman and I don't know what it was, if she was jilted or he felt he was going to leave and she couldn't yeah. have him, no one was. But I'll say this. I don't know what other evidence is out there, but – Pat Pistiglione, who I consider to be the best homicide detective I've ever been around uh-huh. in any of my markets. And, you know, he was in the middle of so many big stories. Perry March, Bruce Mendenhall, the serial killer. He saw what happened, and he's in agreement that law enforcement, what they released was indeed, this was what they're saying it was. Steve McNair was there with this woman, and she killed him.
I remember the first, that Thursday, he died on a Saturday. Surpass had a presser on a Thursday, and the first question was, about there's much more to this. And Surpass was like, I don't know where you're getting this from. There's not. Here's the autopsy report. Here's yeah. everything. And
right.
it just kept going on and on and on. And then that Dateline NBC story, which was yeah. awful.
Awful.
Had
awful.
No nothing new.
I agree.
Yep.
I mean, but that's the way it is in this day and age, especially social media. It wasn't as much back then, obviously. But when something that big happens, it gets everyone's attention. And there's always going to be these conspiracy nut jobs.
Sure.
You know, coming up and with no basis at all. And they're, they want
but do you
talk
think if
it.
This was Dan Smith and not Steve McNair, that some of that, there
no.
probably wouldn't have been
right. no,
the
not
conspiracy.
At all. There are know? Plenty of Dan Smiths, sadly.
Yeah.
Happens
right.
all the time. This was Steve McNair.
Yeah.
I mean, geez. Well, still a young man with his
right.
whole life ahead of
just
him.
Just retired.
Horribly
I mean,
tragic. And I hate people making judgments about, oh, yeah. well, he should have been, you know, whatever the circumstances were. It was horrible for him and his family and everyone involved.
How did you get in the apartment, the condo?
I knew the owner of the condo.
I'm just every day.
Have
I'm
you seen this
yeah.
face?
I'm amazed
know.
At you.
Well,
and I told you one of my favorite stories was the unfortunate incident in Cookeville, where the cop killed the dog that chased him at a traffic stop. And so and I was at Channel
oh,
Two.
I love this.
I was at Channel
oh.
Two, and like they're like, get on that story. Then you had the story. And the news director, Tom, was like, why don't we have this story? And they're like, well, I didn't know. The reporter's like, I didn't know this. And I asked Nick, I'm like, how'd you get that story? And you said, I called and asked. And I'm like, we do all this stuff that's really outside everything else. But the core, mm-hmm. I called and asked. And I went back and I told my news director that. He's like, I'll be damned.
Well, yeah, and it's who you call. And maybe going a back door. I still remember that where we were interviewing the officer. And we were in this room in an office across the street from the police station. And across the street were all these live trucks and all the other stations were there wondering if he might walk out there. And I'm sitting here interviewing him. And they were rushing back before we could feed something and put it together. And I was just – I felt bad for him because they were going to hear about it.
Sure.
But, you know, I didn't do anything to torpedo them. I just called and they said, yeah, Nick, come. We want to talk to you. We'll meet you here. And I'm in this office, and I remember looking out of the window and seeing all these reporters in trucks. And at one point, I saw, you know, one of the reporters just going up to the police chief, waving her arms, going, where is he? And I'm like, oh, he's over here with me. Hey, that's happened. I've been on the other side of that, too.
Sure.
It happens.
I mean, you're not doing that in a pompous way. That's your job.
No. And I wasn't trying to beat that. I mean, I was just trying to get the story.
Yeah. And you did well with that.
Well,
Nick Barris, News Channel 5, is with us. Obviously, you're focused, hyper-focused on what's happening in Nashville, but how much do you keep up with the national story? Obviously, the Nancy Guthrie case
yeah.
is the big one right now, but kind of keep up other than just reporting on it, you know, when you're reading headlines?
I'm a news junkie. When I walk around away and leave or whatever, I mean, I just like, yeah for sure.
Yeah.
Pay attention to the big stories and read it. But, you know, local news is where it's at.
Agreed.
It is.
That's why I love local radio.
Yeah, a lot of people knock the national news and the coverage. Sometimes there's some good reason, you know, whether, you know, too liberal, too conservative, whatever. But local news, I think all the stations here, I think, do a very good job of being impartial. If someone wants to call and say, Nick, you know, you guys have a slant. I can guarantee you this. I have never once sat in a news meeting when we're talking about stories of the day where anyone in that room said, by the way, we're not going to want to cover that side. I would slant it this way.
Exactly.
If that happened, I'd go public with it, and I would quit immediately.
Yeah.
It has never happened.
Yep.
Not local. Now, does that maybe happen in some national? Maybe so. I think maybe it does. But locally, and I'm not just saying Channel 5, I don't think it happens at the other stations in town either.
Yeah. I've been into those meetings, and it's always like, get both sides of the story.
Be fair. Just be fair.
Every time.
It's funny you bring that up, because I was telling you this before we went on the air. My last semester at MTSU, Chris Clark was my professor. This is in the midst of the 2012 presidential election.
Okay.
And I realized really quick, and you probably knew this working with him, Chris loved presidential elections. Mm-hmm. And so every story we did basically was on something with the election, and we even did election night coverage. But one of the things that I remember that he was banging on the table, no one cares what side you're on.
Right.
And if you're going to be in this business, you have to come across as you are as impartial as can be on anything, but especially politics.
Right.
And so he's like, when we write these stories, and he made a few people redo their stories because he could tell which way they were going in writing their stories. And look, I took that to heart because I thought that was great advice.
Yeah. Oh,
especially at the local level.
Really, the only place you can get away with it, I think, legitimately, is in sports coverage.
Yeah, right.
Look, I have no problem with any of our sportscasters in town being pro Titans. I hope they cover them fairly and ask the hard questions, like you guys do, by the way.
Yeah.
I really like your show for that, where you'll ask them hard questions. But
thank you.
That's the only place, really, where you can do it. But, yeah, you're right. What I think is something don't matter, man.
Yep.
It's got to be just both sides, and you guys listen, and hopefully I do it fairly, and then you decide.
Let me ask you a question. How's that hummus?
I was about to say, this is some of the best hummus I've ever had. You want to know why? They've got a lot of lemon in it.
And okay.
I'm serious. This is outstanding.
Let me ask you this. You have 500,000 Facebook followers.
Yes.
Right? And I've talked to you about this. They're very engaging. You don't take that for granted. How did you build 500,000 Facebook followers? I'll give you time to chew.
Oh.
You're worse than me, man. But you got 500,000.
It started 15 years ago. And, you know, the station said, we want you to start doing more social media. And I just said to myself, all right, I'm gonna take this seriously because I think it can get us better stories, get our message out from Channel 5. And so what I did is, I can just be honest with you. I started it 15 years ago, and I decided to do it. I said, I'm going to post a minimum of 3 things every day. And at first, it was real hard to come up with it. I didn't know. 3 things every day. And as I sit here today, going back 15 years, and I'm dead serious, and you're going to think, Nick, and you've gotten on me this. Nick, you're on vacation. What are you doing?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I just came back from a surf trip in Costa Rica, and I still posted. I have not missed a day in 15 years. Sick, Christmas, anything. In 15 years, I have posted a minimum of 3 things every single day.
Yeah.
And it's not just crap stuff. I'm trying to find things that I think are of interest to me and the people that follow me. And then, you know, during a lot of, like, this past ice storm and things like this, I try to post things that try to help people when they really need to get information.
I get so many people reaching to me that say, hey, can you get this to Nick?
Oh, it happens. Well, they know you and I are friends.
All the time, right? And so I'm not going to flood your end. But if there's
You've given me stories.
I have.
Stories.
So if there's something that's really impactful to the community that people need to know about or help in a situation out, I think. What's one recently you helped out a small business? What was the one?
There've been a couple. There was a small business, I'm not monetized, and I don't charge anything. But if I like something, like I have a favorite hot dog place I go to, Campione's. Okay,
right.
I don't mind saying
Gallatin.
It's in Gallatin. There's a new one in Mount Juliet. I get paid nothing. I love the people. It's family run, and I'll post something. Now, they were doing okay, but I posted for a few little family-run operations that were about to go under that I really thought their product was great because I used it and I liked it and they're nearby. I posted, and I remember getting text messages from them saying, well, we didn't really know who you were, and you posted about us, and we just want you to know you changed our lives. A single post. And that's why I have to be very careful how I use it.
Yeah.
But apparently that helped people discover their product, which I thought was great. And now they're doing better. That just made me feel good.
Absolutely.
You know, to do that. And I'm getting nothing out of it. Like I said, not monetized. And I do not charge. I do not ask for anything in return. I just like sharing things I like.
He is Nick Barris, News Channel 5. We'll have more with him. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines.
Do I get dessert?
You do get dessert.
No,
you do.
What do you usually get? What does he get?
I get the McFlurry on the way home.
Yeah, he. It's funny. I've seen him eat a lot, but sweets usually.
I don't.
You're a savory guy.
Well, my A1C is higher than Willie Nelson, so I've got to.
Now, you're in pretty good shape.
I bring it down.
There was a time he was a little more portly.
He was.
And he's not.
But I've lost about 65 pounds in the last couple of years.
Yeah, he looks good.
Just started eating better, and I was drinking. I mean, I still have a Diet Coke here and there, man, but just got to get off your butt and move.
That's right.
All right?
I've seen you out walking.
Nick Barris, News Channel 5.
Over there in Donaldson.
There we go, man. God's country.
Is with us. We've talked about, I mean, I feel like all the big stories we talk about, unfortunately, are the negative ones.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we're wired that way to just remember those. But, I mean, what are some positive things that you have seen as of late? Obviously, we're coming off the ice storm. And we've seen, once again, Nashville helping Nashville.
Yeah, you know, all of those wonderful things about how this community comes together. I was thinking you were just going to say again what stories you remember. It's not so much the best trip I ever did, and this is small potatoes for you guys because you get to do these trips all the time, was I got to cover, you know, the national championship game when Tennessee played Florida State in
98.
In 98. That was really cool. I went with Kuz.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
So Bob Kuzak, talk about a nice fella. And he and I were together, and I was able to go not covering sports, but to do the local color of the fans and, you know, other things that were happening around there, ticket scalping. I still remember after the game was done, you know, they're running on the field, they're handing out the national championship hats. We were trying to get video, and Kuz just goes like this, hold on. And he just reaches in with all the players, pulls out a hat.
Nice.
He still has it today, I think.
Oh, that was fun.
But that was cool. That was the one time I got to meet John Ward.
Nice.
I remember we were coming in, and all I know is when I first moved here in 95, I remember driving in the car with my wife listening to a Tennessee game and recognizing right then that football in the South is a way different breed than anywhere else. Yeah, you know, I'm an Oregon Duck, and I like to kid and brag, but make no mistake, football is football in the South.
Yeah.
And it's not close. It's not like this anywhere else in the country. I mean, it is just king. And I remember listening to John Ward, and I thought to myself, there's Keith Jackson, and there's John Ward.
Yeah.
I just thought he was the best announcer I have ever heard. And what a great way for him to go out the year they won the national championship.
I agree. Were you pleased that you said earlier you might have witnessed a moment in college athletics history that we're all about now, about money, with Phil Knight in Oregon in the Rose Bowl and what happened after Oregon lost the Rose Bowl to Penn State?
Yeah. All right. So in 95, my dad was still working with the University of Oregon. And, you know, for years they were 6-5. Maybe they went in the Weed Eater Bowl or something like that. But this year they played well enough out of the blue, and they made it to the Rose Bowl. And at the time I was working in Los Angeles, and they played Kajana Carter and Penn State. And it was the biggest story ever that Oregon all of a sudden got that good. They were never in the Rose Bowl. It was always USC or Washington or something like that.
Kerry Collins was the quarterback of that Penn State team.
That Penn State team was loaded, all right? And very first play of the game, handoff, Kajana Carter, 65 yards.
Right.
Touchdown. I'm like, oh, it's going to be one of those games. So they ended up losing. But after that game, my dad was down there in the locker room, okay, with Rich Brooks and the others. And in walks Phil Knight of Nike, okay? You guys watch the movie Air, you know?
Yeah.
Ben Affleck did a great job with that. But it's like Phil Knight walks in, and he's like, gosh, this was an incredible run. It was so much fun. You guys, awesome. And he goes up to the AD, who I forget who it was at the time, and Rich Brooks, and goes, what's it going to take for you guys to get back here every year? And you wonder why right now, Oregon now is clearly one of the top, I think, five programs in the country in terms of appeal and all that.
Yep.
And they just said to him, Phil, it's very simple. money. Money. If you'll endow and support our program financially with what you have at Nike, we will be a powerhouse. And Oregon has been since.
They basically got a blank check. I mean, just about.
They really do. I mean, but that's any university. It comes down to money, unfortunately, unless you just get lucky with a couple of kids that no one expected that gets great.
But that was the moment.
Yeah, that to me is the moment where everything changed because all of a sudden there was an incredible influx of money coming to the University of Oregon. It's not that all of a sudden, oh, you got a great coach or, oh, you're doing better recruiting. No, they were good at that. But the money, the facilities, everything all of a sudden was upgraded. And the players come. You should see the locker rooms for the Ducks. It's been a few years since I've been. Personal TVs in there, solid mahogany wood, massage chairs, you name it. So if you're a kid before NIL, you want to go to a place like Oregon because they treat you like a kid.
Oh, sure. By the way, Oregon, home, college football, one of the best tight ends of all time.
Russ Francis.
Met him when I lived in Hawaii, man.
Did you meet him?
He was great. My brother's got his jersey for the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. You know what I remember of Russ Francis? When he played for the Niners and Ronaldo Nehemiah went over the middle. Bam! He got nailed. Francis thought he had died. And he goes up and was shaking Nehemiah. Wake up, buddy.
Oh,
wake
up.
Do you remember?
I do not.
Well, Nehemiah was what? The world-class hurdler.
Hurdler, yeah.
And he signed with the Niners. We had world-class speed. But Russ Francis was – you lived in Hawaii?
For a little bit, yeah. Growing up. Yep.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and Russ Francis was out there all the time.
Yeah.
But he was just – he, to me, was larger than life.
Yeah.
Handsome. He was like Tom Selleck.
What did Howard Cosell call him?
I remember.
All world.
All world.
Oh, nice.
All world tight end, Russ Francis.
Yep, and also Dan Fouts, Oregon guy.
Great quarterbacks. Dan Fouts. Who's the best quarterback ever to come out of Oregon?
Ooh.
Okay, you say Dan Fouts, Justin Herbert.
Mariota?
Nah.
Heisman Trophy winner?
No, you're right. Okay, fair. I guess I'm talking about it once they get to the NFL. But you're right.
Oh, okay.
The best quarterback at Oregon's history is Mariota. He won the Heisman. No question.
Yeah.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, their pro career. I mean, think of all the busts they've had. Joey Harrington.
Could be Bo Nix.
We'll see.
Hey,
right?
You know what?
We'll see.
That's a good point.
Akili Smith.
Akili Smith.
But you know somebody that you guys could take? Jerry Green. Remember he left Oregon, became the head basketball coach at Tennessee?
He did okay.
He was all right.
Yeah, that was crazy, that Oregon-Tennessee connection. I mean, I just remember when I was at Oregon, I looked at Tennessee as just this super powerhouse. We know for a fact their women's basketball was.
Right.
Oregon had a decent college basketball team for women, but, you know, Pat Summitt.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Tennessee 1, Oregon 0.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
By the way, Tennessee's the only state, if you do a Mount Rushmore, for women.
Yeah.
On the Mount Rushmore.
Oh, okay. Tennessee, you said. Okay. Wilma Rudolph. Pat Summitt. All right. Two more.
You're talking just like, in general non-sports,
meaning that,
right?
Meaning that you think.
Overall.
That in terms of women's athletics.
No, no.
The four that go on.
No, the four. Tennessee's the only state with four women on Mount Rushmore. There are Mount Rushmore.
Not necessarily athletics.
It not athletics.
Oh.
Wilma Rudolph. Pat Head Summitt.
Who? All right. I'm not sure. Okay, who else?
Dolly.
Dolly.
Oh, okay. So anything, not just sport. Dolly.
Give me Tina Turner.
Ah.
Yeah. Oprah was born in Mississippi. She's not a Tennessee.
Yeah, you put those four women up against four women in any other state, you're going to have a hard time beating them.
You're not.
Yeah, you're right there.
I mean, you give me Wilma Rudolph and Dolly, I'm good.
Yeah, Wilma, yeah.
Then you add Pat Head Summitt and then give me Tina Turner.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun.
Oh, man, this was a fast hour. Well, thanks for having me on. It was great.
We'll have to do it again. Yeah.
Radio's
I've only
great
tried
gig.
For 2 years, but
well, because
Lord.
You didn't tell me they made great hummus here.
Told you, we got you, man.
We'll make sure you get more.
It's really nice to spend the afternoon with you guys.
Yeah, appreciate
thanks for
appreciate
having me.
Appreciate you, Bubba.
You know I love you, Joe.
You love
Maris,
you too, man.
All right.
News Channel 5 joining us here on the program. We'll have Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.